Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you for another episode of The Best Hour here on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/Course Mastery. You can do a search for The Best Hour there as well. And you can also join us at our spiritual community portal. Our website is truthought.org, and we post the review recordings there and other content there on that site that you won't find on Blog Talk. But we do appreciate Blog Talk and the opportunity to use this platform for our daily podcast. Today we're going to be discussing Lesson 79, and I'm joined with my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you here.
Happy to be here.
All right, so Lesson 79. Before we begin, let's join together for a brief moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath. Let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. A problem cannot be solved if you do not know what it is, even if it is really solved already. You'll still have the problem because you cannot recognize that it has been solved. This is the situation of the world. The problem of separation, which is really the only problem, has already been solved, but the solution is not recognized because the problem is not recognized.
Everyone in this world seems to have their own special problems, yet they are all the same and must be recognized as one if the one solution which solves them all is to be accepted. Who can see that a problem has been solved if they think the problem is something else? Even if they are given the answer, they cannot see its relevance.
That is the position in which you find yourselves now. You have the answer, but you're still uncertain about what the problem is. A long series of different problems seems to confront you, and as one is settled, the next one and the next arise. There seems to be no end to them. There is no time in which you feel completely free of problems and at peace.
The temptation to regard problems as many is the temptation to keep the problem of separation unsolved. The world seems to present you with a vast number of problems, each requiring a different answer. This perception places you in a position in which your problem solving must be inadequate and failure must be inevitable.
No one could solve all the problems of the world appears to hold. They seem to be on so many levels, in such varying forms, with such varied content that they confront you with an impossible situation. Dismay and depression are inevitable as you regard them. Some spring up unexpectedly, just as you think you've resolved the previous ones. Others remain unsolved under a cloud of denial and rise to haunt you from time to time, only to be hidden again, but still unsolved.
All this complexity is but a desperate attempt not to recognize the problem, and therefore not to let it be resolved. If you could recognize that your only problem is separation, no matter what form it takes, you could accept the answer because you would see its relevance. Perceiving the underlying constancy in all the problems which confront you, you would understand that you have the means to solve them all, and you would use the means because you recognize the problem.
In our longer practice periods today, we will ask what the problem is and what is the answer to it. We will not assume that we already know. We will try to free our minds of all the many different kinds of problems that we think we have. We will try to realize that we have only one problem, which we fail to recognize. We will ask what it is and wait for the answer. We will be told. Then we will ask for the solution to it, and we will be told.
Our exercises for today will be successful to the extent to which we do not insist on defining the problem. Perhaps we will not succeed in letting all our preconceived notions go, but that is not necessary. All that is necessary is to entertain some doubt about the reality of our version of what our problems are. We are trying to recognize that we have been given the answer by recognizing the problem so that the problem and the answer can be brought together and we can be at peace.
The shorter practice periods for today will not be set by time, but by need. You'll see many problems today, each one calling for an answer. Our efforts will be directed towards recognizing that there is only one problem and one answer. In this recognition are all problems resolved. In this recognition, there is peace. Be not deceived by the form of problems today. Whenever any difficulty arises, seems to arise, tell yourself quickly, let me recognize this problem so it can be solved.
Then try to suspend all judgment about what the problem is. If possible, close your eyes for a moment and ask what it is. You will be heard and you will be answered.
Let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. And so it is. Before we continue with a little conversation about this lesson, let's join together for a brief moment of silence again. Let's take another good deep breath here. All that is necessary is to entertain some doubt about the reality of our version of what our problems are. When I first started studying the Course years ago now, I had joined a group of Course students, and the teacher, one of his main mantras was, well, there's only one problem. You know, there's just one problem. This is the easiest coursework you'll ever do. This is the easiest learning you'll ever do. This is the easiest book you'll ever read because there's only one problem. And his, you know, analysis was very important because that's the truth. There's only one problem. We believe we've separated ourselves, or we don't even recognize that we've separated ourselves in our mind from the truth of who we are. We've separated ourselves from what we are capable of in form, and we don't recognize our purpose. And so we continue, I believe, lifetime after lifetime, pursuing or denying the question that underlies almost everything we do. You know, who am I? And why am I here? You know, and those are both really one question, because when you recognize who you are, then why you're here, really kind of is answered in the answer to the first question, is who am I? If I am an idea in the mind of God, an idea of love, and ideas leave not their source, I'm not here, isn't anywhere other than where God would have me be, in the sense that I haven't left home, but my perception of where I am, just like when I'm sleeping at night, the sleeping self doesn't know that I'm safe at home in bed. And this self, this small separated mind, this construct of a thinking self, doesn't recognize that we are literally asleep in heaven, taking a nap, so to speak, and dreaming a tiny dream. In the Course in Miracles, Jesus refers to it as a tiny mad idea. What would it be like to be separate from God? And we join together because it couldn't be done by one. And the metaphor of, you know, Adam and Eve metaphor was that Eve couldn't do it by herself. Literally, I mean, she had to get Adam to agree, you know, with the tiny mad idea. What would it be like to play the game of separation? And we've all agreed to it. And we've said yes. And we've drifted off into a sleep of darkness. We've drifted off into an experience of not remembering who we are. We've drifted off into not knowing our own name. We've drifted off into not knowing and remembering our own purpose, and to feel the experience of darkness, this void of nothingness with somethingness, duality, which is the opposite of what we could only experience in God, is oneness. We've invented an idea of two-ness and a thinking mind, a thinking self. This lesson returns us to that. Let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. There's only one problem. I'm dreaming a dream of separation.
Mm-hmm. It's just beautifully put. Thank you so much. The sleeping self, you know, we've drifted into the sleep that you have just discussed, and that sleeping self just is loving playing the game whack-a-mole. You know, whack-a-mole, just as the game where there's a board and with all these little holes, and this little mole pops up in the various holes, and you have a mallet, and when it pops up in a given hole, you strike it with the mallet, and only to have it pop up in another place and another place and another place. And here we are as sleeping selves, and this whack-a-mole illustration represents this problem, that problem, and they just all pop up and they all seem different. And the truth is true always, except when there's this problem or that problem. And then we just forget about everything that we've learned and everything that we've studied. And we believe the story, and therein lies the temptation. Therein lies walking down a path that just carries us into the land of distraction, where we are distracted from the problem as it is, and therefore the solution. So that's the first thing that I want to say, is that in our humanity and this experience, we're so addicted to the drama of problems. And the intellect is, you know, geared to solve these problems and just can't get enough of them. And look at the shows that we watch and the media and the addiction to the 24/7 news. And gosh darn it, if it isn't ever positive. I mean, there's never anything that seems to be a headline or an attractor field that is, you know, positive. And so the problem is that we're addicted to this. And the solution is to remember and recognize that there is only one problem, and it is that problem of separation. And we can think in our pathway of enlightenment, we can hold at bay the things and the ways that our fears kind of creep in the corners and in the distance of our consciousness. And we keep it at bay, perhaps with our affirmations or our positive thinking, but that this is actually a pathway of being really honest. That if you have a fear, if you have a habitual temptation of grievance that continuously hooks you, it doesn't help to just push it away. No, the only thing that helps is to bring it to the light, to bring it to the solution, to bring it to the answer, which is where God places it where it is needed. And I had that experience today, you know, where I was aware of this little, you know, negative thought pattern, but being the enlightened person I am, you know, how can you think that? And just pushing it away. And the importance of, no, I can look at this. I can bring it into the light. Here's the fear. I don't need to be afraid that by identifying, oh, here's a fear I have, that I'm going to manifest that fear? No, if I'm bringing it to the light, then there's this opportunity for it to actually be solved. Now, this lesson does say that we don't need to define it. I don't need to sit there and define it. I don't have to go down the rabbit hole of the whys and the wherefores and how did this originate and was it my mother? Is it a mommy issue or a daddy issue? No, I just can bring it to the light and let me recognize that the problem is only one problem and that it can be solved. And I don't solve it by keeping it separate because that's the whole problem to begin with. It can only be solved by bringing it to oneness, bringing it to light so that it may dissipate, so that it may be seen for what it is, which is nothing. I love my practitioner training in the science of mind because every prayer brings us to this oneness, that we turn from the condition, we identify the condition, the perceived problem, and then we turn from it, which just means that we don't give it power anymore. We've looked at it, we bring it to the light, and then we remember God is, I am. And in those steps, we bridge the gap of separation. In these steps, we're actually acknowledging that in this oneness, the anti-separation, in this oneness, in this joining, therein lies the solution.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So if we believe something or anything other than what the problem really is, you know, the problem is that we have a misperception of truth, you know, and getting to the truth is ultimately the solution. We believe we're separated, and then everything springs forth from that we're experiencing, then we only need to doubt it. And I love that, why he's saying, you know, just so it only takes a little willingness, you know, to begin to doubt your reality. And then we can begin to reverse the idea of separation, that I'm separate. No, I'm not separate. Well, if I'm not separate, then I must be joined. And if I'm believing something that's not true, then what is the truth? And so now I go to the heart space, which is what we've learned from our brother Jesus, is where our voice of wisdom, voice of truth resides, and be at peace there and simply join there and ask that question, what's the truth? Mm-hmm. And that's really for me, the practice of, you know, the holy instant, the practice of meditation, is to just come to center. No matter what the calamity is out here, and I feel like no matter how advanced one might think one is in their spiritual journey, you know, everybody gets tripped up and everybody gets hooked into patterns and old ways of being and thinking through things, right? And ultimately, we have to come to realize that the other way, so to speak, is to just simply recognize that we're not alone. You know, we're not separate. And so turn to the voice within and ask that voice. And in your sharing, you know, you're pointing us that direction. And I appreciate what you're saying. It's just turn within and ask the question, begin the dialogue, and listen, you know, what's the truth? And the truth wipes away all of the worries and the shoulds and shouldn'ts and the concerns of the world, and it helps us to see pretty quickly. One of the things I just wanted to share was that this is this connection with this higher self. You know, I was expecting this big booming voice, to grab my attention and tell me what to do kind of thing. And my experience has been that it's very subtle. It's very quiet. It's very loving. And it's very embracing. And it just simply says, you need to do nothing. Mm. You know, and I think you shared that at breakfast this morning.
I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Really good. Let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you for being with us, Mighty Companion. God bless you for being here. We love you. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send